When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Guys, hello and welcome to another installment of the Pelican Scoop, a Hoop-Ball presentation. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another exciting episode and a great guest again today. Now, today's draft day, we're all geared up for that. If you haven't been paying attention, the Pelicans flipped Drew Holiday for a few different guys. We're going to talk about that with our special guest, Brad Harden, the host of the Hoopball Hawks. We're going to bring him on very shortly. We're not going to muck around today. I am going to do our housekeeping right at the start. So we're going to thank my bookie for everything they're doing. If you sign up and use the promo code HOOPBALL, you unlock 100% deposit match bonus. There's been a free blackjack tournament on there, which is pretty good. No cash required to enter, and you can win up to $100 in the daily ones there. So, and $1,000 in weekly tournaments. So make sure you go and do that. Manscaped, they've launched a new product, the Weed Whacker Nose Hair and Ear Trimmer. So take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hairs sticking out of those nose holes. It's time to keep your ear, nose, hair, and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven nethers, shall we say. So enjoy that. Use HOOPBALL20. You'll get 20% off free shipping with the code. Anything you could want, so why not? ExpressVPN as well, good friends of the show. There are tons of VPN providers out there. You've probably heard a couple of them, and some of them may have even used a VPN before. But as HoopBall always does, they do a bit of research into the sponsors, and they recommend brands that they think the listeners are going to use and believe in. So I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. ExpressVPN doesn't log your data. Lots of really cheap or free VPNs make money by selling your data to ad companies. ExpressVPN developed a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for their service to log any of your info. Second is speed. I've tried lots of VPNs in the past. Many slow your connection down and make your device sluggish. I've been using ExpressVPN for a little while and my internet speeds are still pretty fast. Even when I connect to servers thousands of miles away, I can still stream HD quality video with zero lag. The last thing that really sets ExpressVPN apart from any other VPN is how easy it is to use. Unlike other VPNs, you don't have to input or program anything. You just fire up the app, click one button to connect. It's pretty easy. So, use the link expressvpn.com/hoopball and you'll get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. So make sure you go and do that. And of course, our product launch, guys. So make sure you head over and grab a fantasy pass, wager pass, or HoopBall 360. You'll hear us plugging it flat out. So make sure you go and jump on that. Now, anyway, that's enough housekeeping. As always, I'm at Lyle Swithenbank. At HoopBall Pels is the show. And I'm going to bring on a very special friend of mine, Brad Harden from the HoopBall Hawks. All right, guys. As I talked about earlier, I am joined by a very special guest. It's Mr. Brad Harden, the host of HoopBall Hawks. How you going, mate?
It's going good. It's going good. I appreciate you having me. I'm just really excited to talk about my childhood team in the New Orleans Pelicans growing up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and being there for the creation of the New Orleans Hornets then when they came over from Charlotte. And now that I cover the Hawks, so obviously I wear somewhat of a split hat right now with the Hawks on one side and the Pels on the other side, a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde. But it's just great to come up here and talk hoops, especially after all the exciting things that are coming, especially with the trade that we'll get into and the draft tonight here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm already worn out. We haven't even had draft night yet. I mean, well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning-ish over there, and so 12 hours or so before the actual draft. I mean, the buzz on the Twitter feeds and the like are just going off. I mean, NBA's back.
NBA is back in full swing. I know that we talked about movement within the draft, and we'll talk about if the Pels or the Hawks too can make moves in the draft. So obviously we know that the talent is what it is in this draft, and it's been well documented that it's not the greatest, but I think there's some value here, and I'll definitely be able to talk about a little bit of the value that is in the draft. So hopefully fans can look out if they're not in a Hawks or Pelicans jersey this year or on the rosters per se, that they can see certain players that we mentioned on here and be like, wow, they ended up being what they said. So we'll see there. It's going to be really exciting.
Oh, I'm on the edge of a seat. I mean, the Pelicans have acquired a couple of extra draft picks. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we might as well start with the draft. I suppose that's the thing on everyone's lips at the moment is who's going number one, who's going number two to the Warriors, and, you know, who are the Hawks and the Pelicans going to pick? Do you have any thoughts on the top three or where the Hawks might look at picking up, or anyone who they might think about picking up?
I think for sure, as of right now, the top three is pretty solidified. The order is still to be determined. I think it's definitely LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Wiseman. I know people are talking about trading up, but I think no matter what the order is, that is the three. As far as the Hawks are concerned, I have been, you know, combing through the draft just as you have probably over the last two and a half months, looking at mock drafts, looking at all the film we can. And I've come to the decision that for the Hawks, if they were to get Isaac Okoro from Auburn, the guard / forward, he's arguably the best perimeter defender in the draft. If they were happen to get him, and a lot of people compared him to Andre Iguodala with his athleticism, he can do a lot of good things in passing, defending. He's not a great shooter yet, but you can always get better at shooting with the right development coach and whatnot, and being in the right system. So Isaac Okoro on Yeka Ngongkwu from USC, the forward, he can guard positions 3-5, played at Chino Hills with LaMelo Ball. So if people saw the cherry picking videos with LaMelo, when he threw the passes down, the big guy who was getting all the was on the receiving end of those wonderful passes, getting those easy dunks, that was on Yeka Ngongkwu. And he has an opportunity to grow his skill, as he was a 74% free throw shooter in college. So that could translate into getting a shot once he gets into the league. And then the last person that the Hawks could consider, is Tyrese Haliburton out of Iowa State, who, in my opinion, I think he'll end up being the best guard outside of LaMelo Ball in his draft. High IQ, can shoot the ball very well, very, very smart, just very, very smart player, making the right reads, being in the right positions. So those are the three players. And as far as the Pels, I've seen a lot of Aaron Nesmith, a lot of Shadiq Bey from Villanova. But with them having the 13th and the 24th pick now, the Pels could potentially make a move up into the top 10. I know there's rumblings that there are some players in the top 10 that they would like. And with the shipping out of our beloved son in Drew Holiday, which we'll talk a little bit more about, maybe getting a Killian Hayes in the top 10 to kind of replace that need and go alongside Alonzo Ball, because obviously Alonzo Ball is going to be the defender out of the two guard positions in New Orleans, but maybe they can have someone that's a little flashy as well and could grow alongside of Ball. But it's really a crapshoot this draft. I know Travis Schlenk, the GM in Atlanta, said basically the draft starts after four. After four, the draft starts. So we'll see. It's going to be a lot of movement, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Yeah, no, I'm geared up for it. I think I think you hit the nail on the head with those guys. You know, the Pels have been rumored to move up into the top 10 as to whether or not they'll be able to pull it off now that they've shipped Drew out, and we keep alluding to it, but we'll get there. Wait with bated breath regarding that one. But, you know, a guy like Killian Hayes or Haliburton even as well,
those are the sort of guys that you can bring straight in. They look like they can contribute fairly quickly. You know, even a Josh Green, you know, another Australian, I'm probably a little bit biased. If we stay where we are, you know, we fall into that range where maybe RJ Hampton apparently is another guy that come out of the NBL, and, you know, this is my bias coming through, I guess, but I've seen him play and he's pretty handy. He's not bad. And that was before he had bulked up and worked with some pretty good shooting coaches in Mike Miller. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they decide to pull the trigger and move up, or whether or not they take a couple of young prospects and see what they can work together to build. You know, a shooting big, I think, to play alongside Zion be pretty handy.
Yes.
If you can get a guy with a good percentages, like you talked about earlier, a guy that's shooting well from the free throw line, you can expand that game. That's just, we've seen it time and time again. If you can shoot free throws, you can typically shoot the ball a bit. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not they try to move up and snag a guy like that. But otherwise, I'm just absolutely stoked that we're sitting here talking about it. I know, like, we had the bubble. It feels like it was yesterday, but it also feels like it was ages ago. And now we're just straight back into it. So the fact that they're managing to pull off this video draft, and they're going to do interviews and treat it exactly the same. They might not get the experience of walking up and shaking Mr. Silver's hand, but, you know, it's not bad to get drafted and sign a multi-million-dollar contract. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, even though they're not getting a draft experience, at least it's still happening, because these guys have had to wait for a while. I mean, normally the draft is in April, April. You normally, and now it's November. It's almost Thanksgiving here in the States, and we're just now going to have the draft. And they're going to have the draft, and then in a couple of weeks be starting training camp. So it's going to be a bit of a learning curve. So I know that whoever the Pels or the Hawks get, I think this is the year that normally you go with the younger talent, the freshmen and the sophomores. So you always get more touted because of the potential with their youth. But I think players who are 3-4 year players are going to be very, very valuable in this draft, because they're the ones that are more sure of themselves as far as their game is concerned, and they can come in and make an immediate splash. I know I have a player that I really like, and I've talked about on Hoopball Hawks, in Desmond Bain, who played at TCU, 4-year player, 6'5", combo guard. He's one of the better shooters in the draft. He can defend as well. Underrated passer, not the most explosive athlete, but has the strength and the smarts as playing, being a 4-year player, to be good on the defensive end in the NBA. And I think that he can come in and have a Malcolm Brogdon type impact on whoever drafts him. So those players are going to be very, very valuable with the shortened offseason and a quick turnaround with them playing.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, maybe some of those NBA ready bodies are going to be sought after. I suppose that lottery through to, you know, the end of the first round, especially with those teams contending for playoff spots. We don't know how this is going to work with the COVID. You know, at the end of the day, they're going to shut people down. They're going to be so if you don't have guys that are ready to play, you could be in some trouble by the middle of January if a couple of guys have got sick and have had to take a couple of weeks off. These guys are going to get some minutes. So,
yeah,
you know, these 4-year players could be sought after almost. It could be one of the weird years that instead of the 18 and a half or 19-year-old player, you know, they're going and taking a 21, 22-year-old who's ready to go now. So we could see what happens. But I'm excited, really. That's the main part of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for 7:30 Eastern time here in the States for the draft to come on. I'm ready to see Adam Silver, whether he's in front of a green screen in Bristol at ESPN. Just ready to get the show going, because I know it's going to be a lot of movement. And just to see these young guys' careers finally get started, with them, a lot of them having a stopper to play, whether they played overseas or here in the States with college basketball, to finally be able to get on the court with their team that drafts them, and their future can, you know, start tonight, and they can finally have this anxiety, you know, lifted off of their shoulders, as to know that, hey, I'm playing here, I'm playing in New Orleans, I'm playing in Atlanta. I get to eat beignets in New Orleans. I get to eat some Magic City chicken wings that got Lou Will in trouble in the bubble. I get to finally take it all in. So it's just going to be, a wonderful night for those guys. And it's always great to see, I know me being African-American, seeing some young African-Americans come into some money and seeing how they can be fiscally responsible and give back in some way. So it's just going to be all around great night. So I'm excited as well.
Oh, me too. I think you hit the nail on the head. These guys, you know, a lot of them have come from difficult situations. Other guys have come from better situations. But for them to live their dreams out, you know, whatever background anyone come from, you love to see that someone's dreams are coming true, you know. And I think that's what the draft puts together and really highlights that these guys weren't just good at basketball. They had to work hard to get here. This didn't just happen. You know, there's a lot of sacrifice by the people around them as well to get in this position. And, you know, you look at this year where a lot of the college prospects will be doing March Madness. That didn't happen. You're looking at all of these opportunities and I suppose from the other side, the scouts are sitting there going, well, we don't really know because we haven't seen him play. So it's it really is going to be an interesting sort of roll of the dice on a lot of the players and looking at the limited film that people have. And I think the pre-draft workouts are going to be pretty sought after, I suppose, and relied on pretty heavily. So fingers crossed it all works out and everyone that's meant to get picked gets picked and anyone that's meant to slide slides to New Orleans and we get him.
Yes. Because if you slide to New Orleans, I'll tell you, being a former Louisiana resident, it's a good time. If you embrace the city, they embrace you back. Trust me, I mean, we keep alluding to Drew Holiday being traded, but he is going to be dearly missed because of all that he did for this team as a teammate and for the city of New Orleans and the community, just giving back. So if you embrace the city, they're going to embrace you back and you'll be loved forever. You won't have to pay for a meal or a drink once you're of age in New Orleans if you give your all to the city. Trust me.
Yeah, and I suppose we might as well jump into it. We've been beating around the bush, but Drew Holiday, he was traded. One of the favourite sons, you know, I think he was the captain of the team or thereabouts, you know. Him and his family have given a whole heap back. They have the Drew Holiday Foundation or Drew and Lauren Holiday Foundation that, you know, has been supporting schools and the like, and they've just announced some more donations today, I think, or yesterday. And, you know, what a guy, you know, selfless right to the end. And I think heading off to Milwaukee, the trade is for George Hill and Eric Bledsoe and what, 3 first-round draft picks, 2 pick swaps.
Yes.
And then we're sending Drew and a second round, future second rounder. So, you know, not bad. Or maybe it's 60th pick, I think. I think we're giving up the 60th pick this year. So, you know, it's absolute haul. It was actually on David Griffith's birthday as well. So for Griff, well done.
Happy birthday with that one.
Yeah,
blow out the candles and the cake, man. That's a great, I mean, that's a haul. As you said, that's a haul. 6 first-round picks, and now they have 2 this year. Man, hats off to David Griffin. I know that him and Sam Presti are, you know, doing Game of Thrones right now, battling for who is the king of Westeros right now as far as the future drafts to come. But he really did a phenomenal job. And basically, for anybody who doesn't know jack about running a front office and how to maneuver in a small market, you got to stockpile draft picks because it's hard to lure free agents there. And even though they take a step back as far as being a quote-unquote playoff team, they still set themselves nicely up for years to come, especially with the picks that they'll get, you know, especially coming this year. So hats off to David Griffin, hats off.
To be able to put more younger players around, Zion, B.I., you know, Lonzo as well, Josh Hart, still got guys like Frank Jackson and these younger guys, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jackson Hayes. All of these guys are going to be good players, I think, or at least serviceable NBA players. And another couple this year, or you flip them and get one really good one up in the top 5 or 6. Yeah. I just think you're setting yourself up for victory, you know. I mean, Drew was 29. He wasn't at the end of, or 30, I think he is now. He wasn't in the same timeline as having Zion and B.I. These guys are 19, 20, 21. It's a move to solidify the future. I think he sold high on Drew purely because the Bucks are sitting there going, we need to do something because Giannis is about to walk away.
Yes.
Here's some rumblings that really, if this trade was for more than just an expiring Drew Holiday with a, well, he has a player option, but also for Giannis. If Giannis then signs and stays, well, you've basically given up all of that for a few draft picks for Giannis and Drew. And I think that's worth it. I think if you're keeping him and you're keeping Drew Holiday, I think you're pretty happy with that as Milwaukee Bucks. You'd be doing okay.
Oh, yes, because I know that there are some stats that I had that the value, obviously, of Drew Holiday as a person, as a teammate, it's beyond, you know, you can't put a price on what he did. But as far as stats go, he started the second most games on the team last year. He played the most minutes on the team, and that was 15th in the NBA. The second most field goals made and attempted on the team, fourth most three-pointers made, third most free throw attempts and free throws made, third most offensive rebounds, fifth in total rebounds on the team, second in assists, 18th in the league per game, ninth overall in total assists. He was first in steals on the team, 12th in the NBA, second in blocks for this team, second in points, and arguably the most efficient player that the Pels had. So they're losing a lot of production as far as Drew Holiday, leadership, and durability. So these young players that you mentioned in B.I., Lonzo, Zion, Hart, these guys are going to have to step up. As great as B.I. was last and bring it every game like Drew Holiday did and be engaged on both ends of the court. I think Drew Holiday leaving will truly unlock Lonzo. It will be Lonzo's team. He'll be the point guard. I think that we're going to see even more of a leap. I know we saw his shooting take a leap last year. We were really excited about that. And still was in the top 15 in assists last year, competing for assists with Drew Holiday on the team. And competing with assists with Brandon Ingram, who was very underrated as a passer. People need to take notice of that as well. Between Lonzo, B.I., and Zion, they all can pass very well. But I think Lonzo will have to improve as a scorer even more, continue to take those leads, continue to get people involved in the offensive end and take responsibility on the defensive end, a B&D perimeter defender now that Drew Holiday is gone. So it's going to be a lot on his plate, but I definitely think that Stan Van Gundy's usher this transition along and really just, you know, just have a, you know, conversation with Lonzo and say, hey, this is what you got to do. And Zion, you got to come in shape. You got to come in shape. You got to play out of the 72 games. I say, if you can get at least 55 of the 72 games, that's a great year from Zion Williamson, in my opinion, because the scoring is going to be there. It's just have to be, we're going to have to see the improvement on the defensive end as far as playing within the scheme and being in shape, making the right reads, those Zion-esque jump in the passing lane, steal, dunk, fast break dunks. Those are going to have to be more far and few, you know, it's going to happen more this year. And it's going to be just going to be really exciting. And so a lot of opportunity for this team. You mentioned Hart, you mentioned Hayes, you mentioned Alexander Walker. I hope Frank Jackson can continue to get opportunities because I really like him. But you know, the sky's the limit. So, and I don't know. I mean, we'll probably caveat up to this as well. I don't really know if Bledsoe and Hill play a game in New Orleans. I don't know if that happens, especially we have until December 8th, and then we can potentially move on from them. So I expect that the Pels will try to knock on the angry owner of the Clippers after their playoff exit, who need a point guard, and Kawhi it has talked about this offseason needing a point guard and maybe trying to render Eric Bledsoe services and seeing what we can get from them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think perhaps we keep George Hill purely as a backup point guard, a lead guard, another veteran presence, apparently really good guy. Yes. I think Bledsoe's value is still pretty high. I think he is just a shorter Drew Holiday. I remember when he was came into the league and they were calling him Mini LeBron, and you see these videos of him training with LeBron and he's absolutely jacked as a unit. And, that sort of guy I think is still valuable. I think as a scoring guard as well as a defender, he's got a good motor, good athleticism still. I think he'd fit right in at the Clippers. as to whether or not they have the ability to come and trade anything when all their assets really went in the Paul George trade. I'm not sure whether or not they'll have anything that's really interesting. Maybe Lou Williams, but again, would you trade Eric Bledsoe for an older Lou Williams when you potentially keep JJ Redick? If not, he goes. And you know, I think you want to get another first rounder for Bledsoe. And I mean, I might be being greedy, but if you get another draft pick, well, you know, we're going to have all of the draft picks.
I think definitely with when you think about Eric Bledsoe, you got to look at what the Lakers got at Dennis Schroeder. I think that's a comparable deal in obviously in this offseason. So they traded a player and a draft pick to get Dennis Schroeder. So I think reasonably, I wouldn't mind Landry Shamet, you know, add another shooter to this Pels team to continue to space the floor. You get Landry Shamet, and if they have a future first round pick or second round pick or whatnot, because definitely unlike Milwaukee, a future first round pick for the Clippers with the uncertainty of how long Kawhi is going to be there, how long Paul George is going to be there, could be of some value. So I think maybe that is what we get as far as the Clippers, but I know just right now, just on the spur of the moment, I don't know who else would be in the market for trading for a point guard in the league right now. As I look at the schedule matrix, and maybe you have a better idea who else could use a point guard, maybe a Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, good question. Philly, yeah, perhaps. That is a tricky one because there aren't that many teams that are looking for his sort of skill set. I think Clippers are hit the nail on the head. If the Rockets move on from Westbrook and don't get a point guard back, then perhaps. But again, that all happens or depends what James Harden does. You know, if he leaves, well, then surely you just blow it all up.
Detroit, please. Can we have Christian Wood back? Can we have Christian Wood back? Sign and trade. Can we have him back, please?
Yeah, well, it could very well happen. You know, he's a restricted free agent this year, I think. And he could very well could end up down. He'd be handy. He'd be really handy to join the ranks. You know, he's a good shooter and he's also good down low. He's proof he can score.
And can I ask a question real quick? Do you think if I don't know, it wasn't as, you know, obviously a lot of people don't watch Pistons games. Do you think those who really know Pels basketball, do you think they're kicking themselves for keeping Okafor and letting Wood walk right now?
I think you have to be. I mean, we got some good games out of Jar. Like, honestly, we did. As to whether or not the upside for Jahlil Okafor versus Christian Wood is there, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, the fact that Detroit moved on Andre Drummond, I know they had to get something for him. They got barely anything for him. I think it was like a couple of cartons of Coke and like, you know, bag of crisps. Like,
some Amazon stock. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that'd be worth something.
True. Yeah. Actually, probably worth a little bit more than Drummond, especially when you think about offensively. But yeah, because I know Christian Wood is going to be wanting some money this offseason. It's been out there. I know he famously tweeted, "Hey, who should I play for?" And Pistons fans are like, whoa. Like you're not coming back. So they're going to have to offer up $16 million at least, I think, for Christian Wood services with this skill set and with the free agent market being what it is this year. And if they don't want to do that, but they do a sign and trade and get a guard and they want Bledsoe, those contracts are comparable and it could be a switch back here. And he will obviously be in a better situation here in New Orleans, but that is yet to be seen. I know there's other trades that, you know, you asked me about, so I'll hold on to some of these until later on in the program.
Yeah, well, I mean, other trades potentially, you know, we saw Bogdanovich end up, he left the Kings, went to the Bucks. They're loading up. I think they are scrambling, the Bucks. Good pickup, I think. I think the Kings sold him for not enough.
Bag of chips. Yeah,
bag of chips. Yeah, it was exactly right. You're sitting there going, like, Dante DiVincenzo looks like a serviceable backup player. I don't think he becomes much more than that. I'm happy to be proved wrong. He's played some good minutes. Is he as good as Bogdanovich? I don't think so. I think Bogdan had a great season, really underrated season, honestly. And So that's something that, yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, especially when, you know, they were talking that he might get flipped to the Lakers for Kuzma, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't know whether or not the trade matches up. I don't know if, where people rate Kuzma. The jury's out a bit on him as well. But, yeah, that was an interesting one for me. I thought they gave him up pretty easy.
Yeah, and I know Atlanta was really trying to go after Bogdanović as well, and rightfully so, with his ability to create for others. He's a good shooter, and he's just a proven winner. Every level outside of Sacramento, no offense to any Sacramento Kings fans. Jill, no offense to you, Jill. You do a wonderful job with Hoop Ball Kings. But he definitely is a proven winner, and he's going to be a guy that I've listened to on other podcasts that they think, like, he had moments in Sacramento where they're like, wow, do you remember when Bogdanović did this and did that? I think he'll be able to be that guy. He's just built for big moments. And to have a guy who is essentially going to be your fourth option in Milwaukee, that makes for a really good starting lineup. And you keep Brook Lopez. I mean, I know Robin Lopez opted out, and he's a unrestricted free agent now, which Pels, hey, it wouldn't be bad to bring him back as another big.
He can set a screen.
Yeah, he set a screen and be a rim protector. And he's done well for his value over the years as well. So if we could bring him here to New Orleans and be another rim protector, that would be better than Derek Favors in that regard, with just having some height alongside of Zion, and to get another rebounder, that'd be great. But back to the Bucks lineup. That's definitely one of the better lineups in the East, and they're definitely going to be a favorite, as they were a favorite last year and faltered. They'll be even more so a favorite in the East, even with the Nets being the Nets, the Celtics, whatever they do with their moves, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. And obviously the Raptors, you can't count them out. Can't count out the Raptors. And the Heat who made it to the NBA Finals. So it's just great to see that there's really parity in this league, and that the East is finally catching up. Now, they may not have 1-8 as good as 1-8 in the West, but 1-5, 1-6 is pretty damn good in the East.
Yeah, well, especially you get a healthy Kevin Durant, you get Kyrie Irving healthy as well. That's the Nets making a bit of a charge. You know, you can never count the Magic out. I think they're a perennial eighth seed. You know, they're always going to be there. The schedule has been released now, and that, I think, the play-in tournament that they're adopting, being that 8 through 10 is going to play for those final spots. I think that throws a big spanner in the works for a lot of the players. So I suppose more in the West, but you know, these 10th seeds could make a bit of noise. They just got to get close enough to trigger it.
100%. I know for both of our franchises that we cover, the Pels should easily be 10th, in my opinion, in the West. Depending on what other moves they make, they should definitely be there, and the jumps that they can make, as far as we alluded to with Lonzo and B.I. and Zion, rub your hands together like Birdman in New Orleans. For Zion, having his second year is going to be wonderful. And then for the Hawks, I picked the Hawks as a playoff team. I have them as the 8th seed in the East right now, and this is before moves could be made. And right now, with the cap space, the Hawks are going to be linked to everybody. We were linked to Rondo, and Rondo wants to be in the Clippers, reportedly, which is fine. I completely understand. I know they say, oh, Aaron Gordon, DeMar DeRozan, but now it's Gordon Hayward. Yeah, Gordon exactly. Hayward right now is being tied to Atlanta. And for me, as far as if the Hawks are – even without Gordon Hayward, I think the Hawks can be an 8 seed with the addition of Nate McMillan. They'll be better on the defensive end. He'll put them in better position to defend, as they gave up the most points per game in the league last year. And I know the Pels were only 3 spots up ahead of them at 27th, unfortunately. But adding Gordon Hayward just added wrinkles to the offense, another facilitator, another scorer. For another wing. another wing, which we have a lot of wings. And like I alluded to in the program, we already got Magic City, and we already got American Deli. So we already got wings in Atlanta. That's a staple as far as cuisine, but it's also a staple on this Hawks team right now, just putting wings around Trae Young with his small stature to help with the defending and the shot making outside of him, and just continue to put this team in position to be a playoff team. So I like Gordon Hayward only if we can – I tweeted to say if we can get him on clearance, because $34 million is a lot. It's a lot of money, especially when we haven't talked about in this program yet, but the talent that's in the next year's free agent class. I think every team, including New Orleans as well, with the pieces they got there, want to be in play for some really good free agent prospects next year, and having the cap space and not taking on too much this year to be free to add truly quality pieces to existing young cores like Atlanta and New Orleans to continue to propel them forward so that Atlanta can be in the dance this year and continue to be in the dance for years to come, and New Orleans can get in the dance and at least have an opportunity to be in a play-in and make some noise there. Because, I mean, Zion's going to be a problem. B.I. is a scorer. Lonzo's going to get them in position to do what they got to do. Hart. And we can talk about this young core in New Orleans all day, and obviously you covering them, you can talk about them all day. And me being a fan, I can talk about them all day. But until games are played, until – the rosters are for sure set after this draft and free agency and all the trades are done. You know, we're not going to know until the games are played on December 22nd and see from there for the 7-2 game haul.
It's going to be interesting, honestly, as to how it all plays out. You know, we saw the big CP3 trade down to the Suns. You know, that mixes up the West as well. You know, we saw them in the bubble, went 8-0. The only reason they didn't get in is because one of the other teams won and it kind of ruined it for them. Otherwise, they were looking at going into the play-in. So, you know, I think Portland ended up winning a game too many and that's what stopped them from getting in. But that's hectic. Like, you add a genuine point guard to play with Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. I think we talked about on Twitter, you know, we're looking at the – could this be the resurgence of like a Shaq and Kobe type? I'm not ever going to compare them to those two guys until they prove something, but you could see the makings. These guys are similar sort of skill set, similar build. You know, I don't think Ayton is anywhere near Shaq, and I think Devin Booker's still got a little way to go, but before he's anywhere near Kobe, but it's scary. You get a mentor like CP3 down there.
Man, he's definitely going to unlock both of them because, you know, Devin Booker has done more playmaking, ball handling, because he has to alongside Rubio. And Rubio was a good point guard as well. I mean, we're not going to knock Ricky Rubio's skills, yeah, but he's no Chris Paul. Chris Paul is arguably one of the best point guards of all time. And when you add that basketball savant next to a proven bucket in Devin Booker, I know people are saying that Devin Booker could ultimately average 30 a game alongside Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is going to put himself in position to help get Booker some open looks. And I know they're going to run some off-ball action with Monty Williams, who they had a relationship in New Orleans, ironically. And Monty was famous for having great ball movement, off-ball movement, and getting some shooters open looks when we had Page and whatnot. And I think that's going to be ultimately great for Devin Booker to have a Chris Paul who can ultimately get anywhere from 14 to 22 points in a game, get you 8-9 assists per game. He'll get you some timely rebounds, some steals. He's going to be that leader and that tone setter. And then you have Ayton. I think he's going to completely unlock Ayton if he can continue to work in pick and roll situations, and Ayton's ability to be a stretch five to shoot the jumper and shoot the three occasionally as well. I think it's just going to open it up. And then they keep the 10th pick in the trade. Wow. You keep the 10th pick. You keep Cam Johnson, you keep Mikal Bridges. It's a bright future. And they still have cap space to bring in a Gallinari or someone else in free agency. So they're not done. They're not done. And I think that the ceiling for the Phoenix Suns in the West, I see the ceiling as a 5-6 seed is their ceiling. Because it's still tough. It's still very tough. But I can see them being 5 or 6 in – 5 or 6. Yeah, definitely 5 or 6. Definitely 5 or 6, I say. Especially when you look at how they brought OKC last year up to, what did I say, wasn't OKC a 5 seed as well?
Yeah, they ended up in the 5th seed as well. So, yeah.
So, yeah, and arguably more talent.
I think this team's better than that team.
so we'll see. And like they say on American Broadcasting, Chris Berman, it's why we play the game. It's why we do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be very, very interesting. So the Hawks, what's your, if you could look in the crystal ball, what are you projecting they end up as? You said the eighth seed. What is this season going to look like for them? Is it going to be another just scrape by, or are they going to have some pretty convincing wins as well?
I think one of the most underrated things about the Hawks is the addition of Clint Capela. Clint Capela was traded from Houston last year, and that's just famously started the small ball lineup for Houston that ultimately did not work. And they traded a guy who is consistent double-double guy. He can get you 14 and 12 on any night and get you a block or two and be as a rim protector, and he's a really good rim runner, pick-and-roll player. You have a rim runner with Trae Young, and then you have John Collins who can do the same thing and was a 40% 3-point shooter last year. So you have a guy that can anchor the paint as a defender and just get you efficient baskets around the rim. You got John Collins who is efficient around the rim, one of the most efficient players in the league last year. He's efficient around the rim and can shoot the three and shoot knockdown jumpers. I think Cam Reddish will take a huge leap this year. I know John Moran has tweeted, they said, watch out for Cam Reddish this year. So if Ja's saying that as a rookie of the year, and shout out John Moran, he got me two quote retweets last week. So that definitely made my month. So shout out to you, John Moran.
So good.
But just Cam Reddish's development, DeAndre Hunter's development, Herter, this is his make or break year in my opinion, but when Collins and Trae Young, because Collins did have the 25-game suspension last year, but games where Ice Trae and JC, when they were on the court together, they played close to 500 ball. And you add another good defender and another efficient scorer that will give them more points and hopefully take some points away from the other team in Capela, and you see the development of a Reddish, of a Hunter, I think the 8 seed is in within reach with – the uncertainty with the Orlando Magic and wanting to trade Aaron Gordon, as they've been kind of stagnant at 8-7 the last few years and wanting to make a move, with Aaron Gordon not really progressing as a shooter as they hope and commanding the money that he is commanding at this point. I think that could be something to potentially look at. And I know Washington has been close. We don't really know what's going to happen there. I think the steadiest hand as far as from 8 to 11, 12, and obviously you can't count the Bulls. If the Bulls make a move and get LaMelo Ball alongside of, you know, Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen and the pieces that they got there, Kobe White, they can make some noise, and they were in spitting distance of the 8 seed at times last year as well. So I really think that the battle for the 8 seed in the East will be a grind this year, but I think the steadiest hand as far as rosters, front office, Lloyd Pierce entering his third year here. You're getting Nate McMillan, who is a proven winner. All of his teams are competitive. All of his teams are great on the defensive end. That's going to be another added element to Atlanta. I think that 8th seed is very possible for Atlanta, and it steps them up very well with the free agent class that we alluded to next year, with maybe getting one more piece after this season and seeing if they continue to make steps, because Trae Young is here. If you guys think that it's a fluke, it's not a fluke. Trae Young is really here. I mean, he scored almost 30 points a game, averaged 9 assists last year. And if you give him more toys to play with, he's going to be even more efficient than he was last year. As I alluded to, Collins' efficiency, both Collins and Young were in the top 20 in the NBA as far as offensive efficiency. So the sky's the limit with Atlanta. And Travis Link, like David Griffin, has done a wonderful job with acquiring assets, acquiring picks, and putting this team in position to really make a run. I know that one of the Hawks media guys put a question out this year, is that, are they still in the continuation phase of the rebuild, or is it time to truly evaluate the team building aspect? I think that the continuation phase is slowly closing and the transition phase is beginning in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's coming to winning time. The pieces are there. I think it's just getting reps into the guys, getting them to play together. And, you know, I think they could surprise some players. I reckon if they – I wouldn't honestly bat an eyelid if they ended up at, like, the sixth seed. I would be like, yeah, okay, I can see it. Because the talent's there. It's just purely putting it all together. You know, whether it's this year or it's next year, I can see these guys – they can do some damage, I think. They'll upset some people, especially playing in the East mostly with this schedule.
Yes, and in New Orleans the same way. There's talent in New Orleans as well. It's just a matter of these young guys continue to come along as well. Being a New Orleans fan, this is a very exciting time for us. We've had good teams with the Chris Pauls and the Baron Davises in the past, but this team has the potential with this young, bright core. We've been known to have a young piece but have older players mixed into it, and then you lose one, you lose another, and then we're back in a rebuild. You finally have a young core that you can kind of keep intact in New Orleans, and it's really, really exciting. But once fans can get back to get some butts in the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans and really generate revenue, because I know as a fan, I was really worried about this team really leaving with the lack of Fortune 500 companies in New Orleans, which is the big thing that as far as season ticket sales and putting butts in the stands, that, you know, those corporate sales, those season tickets, that's what, if they fill the suites, they fill the arena. And with the lack of Fortune 500 companies compared to other small market cities, it makes it tough as far as attendance and the NBA potentially looking at it like, is this a worthwhile investment in New Orleans? So I'm glad of the job that they've done with obviously AD leaving. You get Griffin, you get the number one pick, you get Zion, you get the Hall from the Lakers, you have a nice young core. So the future is very bright in New Orleans, and I'm really excited for the state of Louisiana and the Gulf Coast to have an NBA team that can cheer for outside of Atlanta. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, no, we're excited. I think there is a buzz around this season, and hopefully they can put it all together. Brad, where can we find you on Twitter?
So you can find me at HoopBallHawks on Twitter. That's at HoopBallHawks. Or you can follow myself at BradJarrett67. That is Brad, J-A-R-R-E-T-T, 67. Hit me up. Talk Pels, talk Hawks. Yeah, it's going to be a really exciting season. So you guys can hold us to our predictions and our hot takes that we had today. So feel free to slide in the DMs, hit me up on Twitter, mention us, and, you know, feel free to check me. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong, but I'll definitely let you know if I'm right.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I mean, yeah, please be gentle if I've overshot the mark. I mean, it's on the internet now, so I'll be held to account, no doubt. But, Brad, I'd love to extend my thanks and gratitude for coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure having a chat with you. Guys, go and check out Hoopball Hawks. It is phenomenal. He's second to none in terms of the Hawks coverage. The stats, you saw it tonight. Information overload. You know, he's across everything. So make sure you go and check that out. Like, subscribe, 5 stars. You know what it is. Brad, thanks again. I think we'll leave it at that, and we'll talk next time.
We'll talk next time, and definitely you got a seat here at HoopBall Hawks, especially whenever that New Orleans Hawks game happens. I'm gonna have to get you on, and we're gonna have to talk shop, and I'm gonna have to have my Jekyll side as far as the Hawks and really use my Hawks hat to talk about that. But I thank you for the hospitality, man. I can't wait to be back on.
Yeah, awesome. No, anytime. It's been great. All right, matey. Gotcha.
So it was great to have a chat with Brad earlier today. Make sure you go over and check out Hoopball Hawks at Hoopball Hawks on Twitter, and also BradJarrett67 on Twitter. The guy's killing it. You want to know anything about the Atlanta Hawks, go and do it. Guys, I think we're going to leave it at that. Go and enjoy the draft. It's going to be awesome. I'll speak to you next time. Bye.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.